Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 11 minutes after 9 o'clock, it's a Friday morning. It's the Roundtable panel. Ray Graff in for Joe, not John Donahue, as I said in the opening billboard. Joe is out. Ray is in. Alan Chartok is here. Rosemary Armeo, and we welcome for his regular Friday appearance, Associate Editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain. Good morning, all.
Good morning, Ray.
I warn you, listeners at home, that it may be a rancorous hour. Alan is—he's in a mood today. He's been—he called me a megalomaniac a moment ago. He's been giving Rosemary a hard time.
Did you tell everybody what you said?
What did I say?
Who's going to drive this short little bus?
Hey, well, no, I did not. I didn't necessarily say that. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org is the email address if you want to complain, or just Alan at WAMC.org. That works as well. WAMC.org/roundtable is the web address. Now, there is a spot to put your comments there. If you go to WAMC.org/roundtable, you may put a comment there. It'll go down a little bit on the page. You'll see the panel for today, and there's a spot to comment. Now, yesterday, toward the end of the program, we talked about a new Pew survey that said gun rights outweigh gun control. For the first time in at least 20 years, this is from our own website, WAMC.org, for the first time in at least 20 years, significantly more Americans say it's more important to protect the right to own guns than to control gun ownership, according to the Pew Research Center. The survey found that more than half of Americans, 52%, sided with gun rights, compared with 46% who favored gun control. Now, we touched on this topic at about 10 of 10, and we received an onslaught of email and comments, and so Alan thought it would be a good idea if we read those comments. Somebody wrote in very late, said, too bad this topic came up so late in the hour, and I thought, you know, let's do it.
Yeah, you're very nice to give me the credit, but I think you're the one who... You're the one who wanted to read those letters.
I see. Well,
okay, let's go.
Okay, here we go.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Okay. Oh, stuff. Okay, we all need guns soon once the GOP... We all need guns soon once the GOP becomes the government.
Okay, and that's from...
That's from Richard.
Okay.
Okay, and
the
then,
FBI will be knocking on his
and
door.
And Gary
later.
Says, I believe the President Obama's signing of the NDAA, the Patriot Act extension, and the NSA spying has actually done more for the NRA than anything else. I personally know many progressive liberals who have changed their stance on gun ownership because of the erosion of our freedom and security.
Interesting take.
Oh, boy. Josh says, look at the trade the police did telling citizen is to arm themselves. I'm just reading what the words, okay?
Yes.
And since they have break-ins have dropped dramatically. Criminals don't care if guns are illegal, but people who want to protect themselves may need a gun to do it. Women with guns can prevent a rape. People should be allowed to protect themselves, and it seems you want to take that away from them. Love the program, but when it comes to something, you guys just don't get it. P.S. I don't own any guns, but I think I don't think I should be able to infringe upon the rights of others to do so. Scott says, if the government knows the citizens are armed and willing to protect their rights, they will be less likely to try to take our rights. An unarmed population are just a bunch of sheep that can be driven as the government chooses. Libby. Not here today. The Pentagon has done a much better job supporting gun makers than the NRA has. Joe says, I'm liberal and I support responsible gun ownership. In capital letters, I do not support the NRA. You're playing favorites by ignoring the survey. Not every gun owner is a right-wing anti-government nut job. And from our website, Pamela says, I think that among several factors, one of the issues here is the question is framed as gun rights versus gun control. As Madeleine Kunin recently suggested in a speech, we need to change the language from gun control to gun safety and the right of our citizens to live without being threatened on a daily basis. And then Carl said, what never seems to make it into the anti-gunner sites is the effect of the defunding of mental health care. I would like to see a graph showing the correlation between the closing of mental health treatment centers and the defunding of programs versus gun violence. And let's define our terms so that we know exactly what we mean by gun violence. Break out the categories of self-defense and hunting accidents. For example, I would prefer that any reference use the name Fred. Keeping up the good work.
So
whatever
his real name is.
Yeah.
Of course, he doesn't realize that gun violence is down since the early 90s. It's way down.
That's part of the study, that most people don't realize that. They think it's up.
Yeah, and that was further in on this Pew survey. The perception is that gun, because of perhaps the media and the focus, if it bleeds, it leads.
The media, Ray.
I'm blaming you, Mike Spain. But, I mean, people think that gun violence is up when, in fact, it is down.
But it's still too high. And when you see some of these terrible, terrible things, Sandy Hook and the other things, you really have to worry. You really do. I think, there are those people who, we had one letter just now that blamed the panel for gun control. First of all, I know the people in this room, and I don't believe that there is a united feeling about this. I, on the other hand, really think we need to have sensible gun control or gun laws in this country so that people are screened before, if you want to own a gun, all right. I suppose it's all right. I don't think there's any question about it. But we ought to really screen out the nut jobs.
Okay, screen in what way?
Well, I think when you get when you want to buy a gun, you have to fill out a certain amount of material, and then there has to be a check on who you are.
But I mean, what sort of screening? A physical screening? Or an eye test? What are you talking about?
Well, that's interesting. I never thought about an eye test, but that would make some sense if you think about it. We ought to give. Propose gun owners an eye test.
It's important that they be able to
see what they're shooting.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you
well, maybe it's better that they don't.
Oh, gosh, those are first graders. I meant to get the third graders.
Are you referring to a mental test? Is
yes,
that what you're saying?
That's what I was, and you knew it. And now you're back to, since you asked your question, now you're back to asking me, am I referring to a mental health screening? Yes, I am.
Gun owners are the only people who believe that protecting their rights means no regulation whatever.
I disagree.
Even in the First Amendment. It's true. The First Amendment people, I think, I think it's pretty absolute in the First Amendment, and yet I accept many of the rulings of the Supreme Court. Obscenity should be looked at. Hate speech should be looked at, and et cetera. Why is right to own a gun means, no, I can't regulate anything about it. Who gets the guns, under what circumstances they may be bought, what kinds of guns?
Why are you painting every gun owner in that category? I think there are many gun owners, including many that we've heard from, who say, obviously, there has to be a certain system and a certain amount of control.
I was responding specifically to this survey, which balances right to gun ownership with right to regulation.
Okay, so if I may continue,
Ryan
wrote to all you gun owners out there who think that mental health is the issue. How many of you wrote to your congressman after Newtown to lobby for more funding? How many of you voted for Republicans who believe in cutting funding for federal programs that help the mentally ill? How many of you have done anything, and that's in capital letters, to help the mentally ill?
Well, I think the letters are all over the place, and that represents where I think society is. There are people, I would say that there are people who believe that there should be regulation and they are comfortable owning guns and they license them properly. And then there's people, I think there's a lot of people like Rosemary described who think that gun rights means no regulation. There's other rights in the Constitution. I think you make an excellent point, the right of free speech, for example. And yet you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. I mean, there's got to be some way to modulate the way that people, behave when they're with their guns. And regulation's a good word. I like Madeline Cunin's approach, gun safety, gun regulation. Don't say gun rights and gun control. Those are polarizing terms. I mean, gun regulation, requiring people to learn how to use the gun, take classes, et cetera, those all make a lot of sense.
JB writes, the NRA believes the deaths of a few first graders is the price we pay to protect their Second Amendment. And then he used the words, which I'm not going to use on the air, because, I think we have to have some civility here.
Yeah. Okay? All right. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. Always best to keep your messages fairly brief and fairly civil. That's always
civil.
A good thing. Let's take a break, Dave, and then we'll move on to our first new topic of the day. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's 9:21. Ray Graff here, Alan Shartok across the console, Rosemary Armeo and Mike Spain, you at home at roundtable@wamc.org. It's now up to the Senate to pass a huge $1.1 trillion spending bill to keep the government running. The measure passed the House after a day of drama yesterday, but a relatively comfortable 219 to 206 vote. The vote came after GOP leaders sent the House into a seven-hour recess to give the White House time to lobby Democrats who are angry that the measure weakens rules on the financial industry, the Dodd-Frank rules, and allows wealthy donors to pour hundreds of thousands of dollars into political parties. Democratic House Leader Nancy Pelosi was the odd person out when the Democratic-led Senate and the Democratic president joined most House Republicans in backing the $1.1 trillion spending bill she opposed. Pelosi said she was enormously disappointed the White House backed it. And so it seems to me that we've had a split in the Republican Party for some time with the Tea Party and moving sort of a divide in the middle of that party. Now it would seem that the liberal wing of the Democrats are becoming more defined and indeed more vocal.
I think you're right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's right, because there are some of us who are appalled. You know, you had Barney Frank out there yesterday. He was retired, of course. But, you know, Dodd-Frank is saying this is a disgrace. It was a disgrace.
It's a real rollback, yeah.
There are many people who think that there should have been at least a few bankers who went to jail during this crisis in 2008. Whether that be the case or not, what are we doing, rewarding them for bad behavior by throwing this into the, you know, into the budget? Look, we all know what this is. The president wanted a bill. He had to have a bill. His stewardship of the country insists that there be a budget, and he was going to do it. But this is the same president who is for fracking, for example, who has deported more people than anybody else has, yeah, and who is capable of taking a conservative turn here and there. As I said yesterday, you put Elizabeth Warren in a primary in the same way the Republicans put some of their people in, and I'm not making the comparison because I think Elizabeth Warren is wonderful, but if you put Elizabeth Warren in many of these primaries, she's going to win. She's going to win the primaries against Hillary, but she won't do it because she knows that the country may not be ready for her brand of politics.
Yeah, I think we actually had a Congress that worked yesterday and all that drama. Both sides lost big things. The conservatives will tell you they don't like at all that immigration
is that
reforms.
Is that equal, Rosemary, to letting you see my point here?
Totally lost my point of view, but okay, I'll try to recap.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I do think they're equal in the eyes of the conservatives who gave that up. And the negotiators agreed to it, and I think the heroine yesterday was Pelosi, who knew that the bill had to go through and did what she could, but while also voicing her own opposition, freeing up people to vote their conscience. I think she's a terrific leader. We don't say that enough.
Yeah, the what was at issue was a part of Dodd-Frank that would not provide federal insurance coverage for losses associated with using credit default swaps. And credit default swaps were the what many regard as the primary cause of the economic recession, the Great Recession. They were pretty much betting. It was like Wall Street was like Las Vegas. They were betting with other people's money, and they were losing it. And that wasn't prohibited. That was discouraged because it wasn't covered by federal insurance. And now it would be covered by it. Ben Bernanke said it's necessary to keep U.S. banks competitive with the rest of the world. I don't know whether it is. I don't understand that. But it really feels like a rollback and puts us in jeopardy for another round of that roulette.
I know. I've been reading that this is we're talking in extreme terms, that the regulation was aimed at truly far out and weird investments that plunged the economy into disarray. But what this also would do, loosening the rules, it's been under discussion for a long time, would allow for some very simple and routine kinds of derivatives to be funded.
Well,
and
the New York Times
sure
didn't like
it. It's not as scary.
The New York Times sure didn't like it.
Oh, well, that liberal rag.
I love your point, though, about Pelosi and compromise and how maybe the whole attitude in Washington is now one that it is so polarized that if you compromise, you have, in fact, admitted defeat. The conservatives say,
horrible.
This didn't do anything about the executive action on immigration. This leaves intact the Affordable Care Act. It did little to address spending cuts. And the liberals have similar complaints on the other side.
Right.
Now, in the old days, And maybe it's an ideal that was never real. And Alan is fond of saying that this ideal never happened. But compromise was a good thing.
Right. Well, you know, this all started. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, we will have a budget when the Senate votes today, and they're expected to approve it narrowly.
Yes. Yeah. I would also say that nothing of what I say disapproves of Elizabeth Warren either. I think her role was to state the extreme position. I don't think it's so extreme, but in this debate it is, that this is horrible. We need to look at this. Why are we doing this? I think she played a role, and it was important. I think we actually saw democracy yesterday.
Yeah, and as did the arch conservatives. They spoke right. their mind, but compromise was done.
Correct.
Is that a good thing?
Well, when you talk about arch conservatives, there's a lot of people in the Tea Party who feel the same way about as Elizabeth Warren about letting Wall Street off or letting them
That's
go back
true.
Into the bad behavior. I mean,
yeah.
it's forming all kinds of alliances that no one would have ever expected, and you know that is. I wonder if it, Alan. Looking ahead,
sure.
does this define what the next 2 years of Obama is going to be? He's going to break from his own leadership like Nancy Pelosi and Elizabeth Warren, who's risen to leadership in the Senate, and broker deals with the mainstream Republicans who control the House and the Senate?
I think the next 2 years are going to be horrible for Obama. You know, he's going to have to make his deals in order to emerge from his presidency with any kind of... You know, I think these guys are gonna, in fact, try to impeach him. I do. And I think
on what grounds?
Well, overstepping his executive authority, you know, on immigration, things like that. And you know, because they can't help themselves. I also think that this business about this being a democratic way of working things out, this is not democratic. I mean, small d, this is not democratic. What this is money talks, everybody else walks. The lobbyists get out there, and in this myriad of flotsam and jetsam in this $1 trillion thing, they come along and they say no, all we want to do is take the binders off the banks. Okay. Come on, we all know what this is, and then go look and see who gave what money to what politicians, and you're going to understand this is democracy from the people. No, this is the way that it works in our institutions now.
roundtable@wamc.org is the email address. We'll be back in a moment. Now listen, Rosemary, not saying whether yesterday's compromise was a good thing or bad thing, final word of this half hour, is reaching a bad compromise a noble thing?
No, I'm not giving a yes or no to that. Exactly. I have, that makes
don't
me say I have
you.
To say it's a bad compromise. I don't agree with that.
I didn't say it was
that.
A good or bad compromise. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. Hey, it's Friday. It's 9:34 in the morning.
Yippee.
And that means you're part of the Roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. So right before we went to the news,
yeah.
I posed a theoretical question to Rosemary. And because we only had 15 seconds, she thought it was a trick question, but it wasn't. My question was, in these days of extreme divisiveness in Washington, where nothing gets done for years on Capitol Hill, is any compromise considered to be a triumph? And I'll throw it open to all of you before
okay,
we get
I
to
have
the letters.
Only one thing to say. Mussolini made the trains run on time.
That has nothing to do with compromise in a democratic system. What a ridiculous statement.
Because what you're saying is, it's worth, anything is worth it.
Even I'm asking you, is it worth
even if
it?
You're doing... Look, Ray, we're on to you. We
no.
know when you ask a question
no,
that, you know, you're meant to elicit a certain response
for
it.
Or ask a silly question and get a
it's
silly
not
answer.
It's not a silly question.
Yeah.
There are, and a question
there
where nothing
good
gets
parts
done.
About this budget being
Thank you,
passed.
Mike.
And that is that we now can wait until next September before the next government shutdown threat.
Well, not really, because in February we're going to be debating TSA, and that shuts down a big old hunk of the government if they get into that. They've, again, just delayed it a few months.
I'd like to go back to my Mussolini crack.
All right, fine.
And because...
Speaking of transportation.
Yeah.
Because, as the governor says, I want it clear that sometimes when you have... a compromise, which is what you're positing here, and how good it is to compromise, it depends on what the compromise is.
That was my question for you.
Well, that's the point. I'm saying there were some very bad things in this compromise.
But isn't that what a compromise is? You don't like something, somebody else doesn't like something?
Oh, so the Republican position is we didn't rein in Obama on his immigration plan, a good thing, by the way. And then, as a result of not doing that, they can give the banks total relief and everything else. Give me a break, will you please?
Well, some would argue it wasn't total relief. It didn't completely rescind.
Well,
Dodd-Frank.
It's well on the way.
Well, the question, Ray, was probably is any compromise better than no compromise?
And that was
that depends on how bad the compromise is. And I think the collective opinion is that there's some bad things in there, but I also argue that it's good to move on. And there's some good projects that are funded in there, too. So
there's no better deal ahead for the Democrats.
Yeah,
and after next month, there's even more Republicans than before. This is as good as they could have gotten, I think.
I think you're right. I think that it was going to be a tough deal, and that's what it turned out to be.
John says, clearly the legislators are out of touch with the people. There is a groundswell, a protest, beginning from the street. Think the environment, police brutality, income and inequality. This will all come together as a major challenge to the status quo. Sometimes that happens. The institutions get taken over by money. The institutions get taken over by campaign contributions. Everybody in the Senate is a millionaire. We all know that. Then there's a distance between the people and the people in charge.
Well, I'm sorry, the people went in last November and created the situation we have, or exacerbated the situation we're in.
That's
true. That was the people speaking.
Well, or not speaking.
You get the government to vote in.
Let's say
three-quarters of the
people.
We're
under the influence of it already. A lot of what happened in this debate was predicated on the fact that in January it gets a whole lot worse for Democrats.
Well, I think it's quite a bit more simple than that. Neither side wanted a government shutdown at this point. Neither side could handle that. They needed to do something.
That's true.
They didn't want that Grinch
If three-quarters of the people, I just want to finish up that last thing I was thinking about. If three-quarters of the people walk away from the polls and don't vote, you think they're voting?
They're not voting. That's our system is set up a whole different way.
But when people feel...
Nothing noble about not voting, Alan.
Well, no, I'm not trying to say there is. I'm just trying to explain. That's what we political scientists do. I'm just trying to explain.
Popes do it, too.
Yeah. Get the white smoke ready. Chartok's going to talk.
All right. I give up.
All right.
But I think the behavior is, I don't admire people who don't vote.
Good.
But I think that they think that their options are not there. They don't believe in the system, and so they walk away from it. Don't you see?
Yes.
Some people do. Some people aren't even engaged enough to realize it was Election Day. Wouldn't you say?
Well, no, because, when you get a presidential election and you get a man of color running for president.
How about in 2014?
A lot of people came out.
Yeah, there was no presidential election.
There was a certain offer of hope, I think.
Well, that was a unique experience in American history. And if we have to rely on those sorts of experiences to get people to vote, we remain in serious trouble.
Well, you won't get me saying there's anything good about it. Because I think if everybody who had a stake in the game, really had a stake in the game, came out and voted, you'd find some very different outcomes.
We have more letters?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
We do, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Yeah, but the thing's got to work first. So Roland, he's whistling because he's saying you're too slow, Charlie.
Hurry up.
Okay. Roland says, the art of the game is compromise. We need better artists. Happy holidays from Rowan.
Good point. Excellent, Rowan.
Well played.
And Irene says, voting is being cut back in states. The wars are killing America. People are not saving. Americans are going to bed hungry at night. Protesting is the way to go. Frank Robinson says, it is a false myth that Mussolini made the trains run on time. He did not.
Aha!
Well, there's the final crushing of your metaphor.
Okay, and John says, clearly the legislators are out of touch with the people. There is a groundswell of protests beginning on the street. Think the environment, police brutality, income inequality. This will all come together as a major challenge to the status quo. That's from John. Julia says, Alan's right about the next 2 years. I haven't seen any evidence that the attitude of the Republicans expressed by John Boehner in the promise to make Obama a one-term president has changed. If anything, it has hardened.
Wasn't John Boehner who said that.
Let's go back.
Boehner never said one-term president. It was...
I have to go search the record. Certainly, attitudinally, he was saying much of that.
Well, that's not even true. He really worked with Obama to get a big grand compromise, and he was stymied by the right wing of his party. But that's just
well. Then
not
he shouldn't
true.
Be speaker. Jessica says, I wish many people might consider attending a hunter safety class or pistol permit class. Okay. I hear a lot of inaccurate information referenced by callers and media gatekeepers. Self-education on this topic may take some emotion out of a typically heated debate. So many people seem to know little about firearms and firearm safety and regulations outside of a tragedy in the latest poll.
Well, you know, you have a 9-year-old girl who shoots her shooting instructor and kills him and kind of... Yes, the media goes crazy after that.
And Rich says Obama will be saved by the American protester. But Rich says a lot, so I just read that one.
Okay, and by the way, if you write multiple times, your odds of getting through more than once, fairly slim, unless you have something amazingly brilliant to say. Try to keep it one to a customer, unless it's really slow, of course. And then
anything goes.
Yeah, anything you got.
Then we'll probably be talking about state government. Okay, then let's talk about Diane's letter. I totally agree with Rosemary. Why are gun owners totally exempt from any regulations?
But they're regulated all over the place.
I'm reading somebody's letter now. I think we need to be reminded that the Second Amendment includes the words well regulated. Oh, that's interesting.
That's a good point.
Let's see here. And Sean, what? Does anybody believe that personal gun ownership will really protect them from a fascist military police state? Good luck. Guns and mental illness are a self-correcting system. Sadly, our youth appear to be the victims of this formula, and arming teachers, prime example of the savage root of our nation, traditions that decimated the native populations of our homeland. Ignore history. How's that working for you? And Jim says, you started out the discussion claiming the roundtable group was not of one mind in advocating for reduction in gun rights. And then the only person in the group advocating a slightly pro-gun rights agenda listed a number of restrictions that are not of the norm in Vermont. Your group may be trapped in an echo chamber. Okay, then that's enough of that one. Michael says, in order to own a car, one needs a license that requires training and passing a test, a registration, insurance. I think guns should be treated the same way. That's from Michael. And Robert takes exception. A throwaway line referring to driving the short bus still hurts those of us who loved ones riding those buses. I, as a grandfather, admire the people actually driving and riding the short bus as they take wonderful care of my 4-year-old granddaughter on her way to preschool for children with special needs. You do admire people assisting others as well. Careful of those throwaway lines. Then Ryan wrote again, so we're not reading that. Okay, John says, I can't read it because I just can't read it. And by the way, don't be sending us links.
Yeah.
Don't be sending us links. You want to make a point in a couple of... lines, do that.
All right, we done?
No.
All right.
No, John says, Elizabeth Warren said the rollbacks to Dodd-Frank included the Cromnibus will be a boon for Wall Street. My guess is their profits will far outweigh the increases in campaign contribution limits also included in the bill, which I believe were raised. Those Wall Street bankers are smart. Nevertheless, the bill had bipartisan support, bipartisan deference, the big money lobbyists at the expense of the electorate. I like John. I like the cut of his jib. And Michael says, Do these gun advocates really believe that federal agents are going to come up their driveways with guns drawn to attack them? That's nuts. We can have gun rights with regulations to prevent these nuts from getting a hold of a gun. And Chris says, why not require insurance companies for guns and let the insurance companies derive the rules? Peter says, the NRA is succeeding in scaring people into believing they are in danger and need a gun to protect themselves. Countries with stringent gun laws have far fewer gun deaths than the USA. And that's what I got for now.
The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. The Times Union, Mike Spain, is here. And Mike, what's in the TU today?
Well, I think one of the talkers today is the announcement yesterday by the governor and the lieutenant governor. The outgoing lieutenant governor of millions of dollars in $709 million in economic development grants being awarded statewide. And our story today by Brian Nearing focuses on the $60 million of that that is going to projects in the capital region. A lot of it is going to public projects like the parking garage that'll be part of the DeWitt Clinton Hotel renovation in the Albany County Civic Center project. Some of it's going to go to Schenectady. There's a block just west of Proctor's where they've had a renaissance on that block, but the block on the western side of Erie Boulevard is downtrodden, and $1 million is going to go for that and help private developers bring that section back to life. Troy's Farmer's Market, that great Saturday morning event, will be getting year-round quarters in Monument Square with some money from this and some other investment money. And then a lot of companies in the capital region, including Finch Prine in Glens Falls, will be getting a boost towards a $20 million renovation they're doing. They'll get a part of that, a small part of that, from this economic development money. It's supposed to create jobs, and this money is going statewide. And it's so far, since the program began about 4 years ago, the capital region has gotten $256 million from this.
But how
this
many jobs?
But this time it didn't do too good, right?
Well, there's some They are the second lowest. New York City got less than the Capital Region, and the Hudson Valley and the Central New York and the Buffalo area got more in grants. The explanation has been, when this happens, and it's happened before, that the money goes where the greatest need is.
Oh, really? Or as Mario used to say to me, oh, really? Because I'm interested in whether or not a governor has his who is in charge of the whole process has the ability to direct money,
to steer the money where it's needed most.
Yeah. I certainly think that the Republican minority leader of the assembly, who was on with us yesterday, made it clear that he thought so.
Brian Kolb.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And therefore, one wonders whether since Jerry Jennings, the outgoing mayor of Albany, was a very close compatriot of Governor Cuomo, and Kathy Sheehan maybe not so much, whether or not that may have had something to do with the decreased luck of Albany. That would be a great story for one of your great reporters to do.
Are you suggesting that politics is entering into how this economic development money is being distributed?
Or the fact that the Capital District didn't vote for the governor this year.
Mike, who's keeping track of how many jobs are being produced?
Yeah, good question, Ray. Often, not specifically in this economic development money, but in IDA money, industrial development money, very often when you go back and check, the jobs that are promised are not created. They fall short. And the argument has been that it still has kept businesses operating, it has created some jobs, and it has spread money throughout the community. So the panel, each region, including the capital region, has a panel of community representatives that
appointed
by the governor. But Jim Barba, who's the CEO at Albany Medical Center Hospital, he's the head of the one for the capital region, and he was You know, he's in charge, I guess, and he and his fellow panelists are in charge of tracking where the money's been effective and then recommending.
But don't they also have refunding? Executive directors sort of who are appointed in each of the, you know, each of these places? I mean, I don't think that what happens is guys like Jim Barber have done such a wonderful job.
Oh, no, they have professional staff that
and the
that
professional kind of staff may have relationships with the second floor, as we say. No?
Yeah, well, certainly. This is the Cuomo administration, and the Cuomo administration is driving this.
I mean, winners belong the spoils.
The lieutenant governor.
Don't let him suck you in, Mike. Just keep going.
Keep going.
Head for the light.
Again, if politics and enters into how economic development money is distributed, I'm shocked.
Yeah. No, you're not shocked, as you know, because you're terrific. And I think that this is something that really needs to be looked into. It does.
Accountability, I agree. And that's the role of the media, and I accept that charge that you've given us, challenge.
Well, you can find great Capital District and all sorts of great coverage at the Times Union. What's that website again, Mike?
Oh, it's timesunion.com.
Well done. Roundtable at WAMC.org is our email address. We'll take
no
a break.
Dash.
No dash.
No dash. You'll get some paper in Florida if you do
no
that.
No dash, just some salt.
Timesunion.com. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll talk about that Sony hack that we have not talked about yet. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's 9:51 on a Friday morning. Rosemary Armeo is here, Mike Spain, Alan Shartok, and Ray Graff, and a couple more emails, and then we'll talk about this Sony hack thing, which is getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
No one ever mentions one of the primary causes of the housing bubble, where the government mandates to accept questionable mortgages in order to boost home ownership for those who could not afford it. The banks reacted by selling off what they rightly recognize as bad debt. Chalk another one up for those who believe government can and should be the answer to everything. And I would tell you the person's name, but it's not there.
Okay.
Okay. And Jamie says it was Mitch McConnell that said one-term president.
Yep.
Benjamin says, please keep in mind all commercial gun sales in the U.S. already require a background check. The man who was shot by the 9-year-old girl was not her, quote, instructor. She wasn't getting training. This is a tourist trap shooting range where any dummy with a few $100 can fire automatic weapons with tragic consequences in this case.
Okay.
And
he
goes
was
on.
An instructor.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the way it was built.
And Thomas says, are there any politicians who actually advocate the banning of all guns? The NRA would have us believe that any gun control law is a slippery slope towards a total ban. Rifles and shotguns are fine. Assault rifles, pistols, and howitzers are not. Mm-hmm. And Lewis says, please stop maligning the mentally ill in this conversation on gun control. And George says, I'm both amused and horrified by people who think they can take on the U.S. government with the AR-15s and hunting rifles. It's a silly idea that political extremists like to shoot about. Ray, I know I'm just trying to do the hacking. There's much more.
And by the way, if you comment on our website, WAMC.org/roundtable, you'll find a spot to discuss all this. Feel free to put your comments on. They will stay there in perpetuity. And speaking of in perpetuity, emails would apparently fall into that category. If someone were to make every email you wrote public, would you end up having to apologize to some people? That's the fix that movie producer Scott Rudin finds himself in. He's apologizing to some of the people he refers to in leaked emails from his Sony accounts. The comments included calling Angelina Jolie a spoiled brat, as well as racially offensive jokes about what Rudin presumed President Obama's taste in movies to be. Rudin explains that the emails were among those that are often written between friends and colleagues, and that they are done, quote, in haste and without much thought or sensitivity. In a statement to Deadline, he apologized to those who may have been offended by the emails. Now, this Sony hack is enormous.
And it's also the look of the future. Look, you cannot write anything that's compromising. We have all done it, and it's not a good idea. Because what's going to happen now is you never know when somebody's going to grab it.
To put it in perspective, these Guardians of Peace, that's the alleged group that is behind this, have stolen about 100 terabytes. So that's 100,000 gigabytes of information, including employee information, email, health information about families of employees, movies, scripts, and everything else. And
social security numbers and their top people, you know, everything.
And aside from the geopolitical aspect that it could or could not be North Korea behind this, because Sony is releasing this movie called The Interview, which is a comical film about
the great leader,
attempted assassination.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. But one of the interesting things about this is that, let's see if I can find the quote here. Sony is going to counterattack. So some of, let's see if I can find
it. What are they going to do?
By the way, while you're looking to find it, I want to point out that we've had three now pointing out that it was Mitch McConnell who said one-term president. Mm-hmm. Yes, but I will still make the argument
That by his behavior, John Boehner wanted the same. That is correct.
Okay. I reject your corrections.
Fair enough. Here we go.
Oh, my gosh.
This is from the Washington Post.
I reject your corrections.
This is from the Washington Post. Now, Sony has begun to strike back. The perpetrator of the attack, not known, but citing sources, apparently Sony is firing off countermeasures aimed at disrupting the file-sharing sites distributing the stolen materials. The counterattack involves a crude method known as denial of service, which we hear about a lot from hackers. But this is Sony doing this to keep computers from carrying these illicit materials. Now we've reached a brave new world.
Now, is that legal for Sony to go after and deliberately bring down the servers of people they perceive to be their opponents who haven't been proven to be the
Well, if you leak stolen material, then does it give you the right as the owner of that material to
stop it? I believe
it
does not. I mean, I believe that when just in the recent past when Congress was talking about elevating the cyber security in the U.S. And getting ready for this type of thing, that private industry doesn't have the freedom to do that. Now, who's going to stop Sony from doing it? I think the sympathy is with them, and they should be able to do anything they can to prevent.
Okay, I don't have sympathy for these guys. I mean, I do not think that people in private messages, unless they are truly racist and mean-spirited, write the sort of things we're saying. I'm kind of highly amused by the whole thing.
What about Social Security numbers and health information and movie scripts
that
are worth millions and millions of dollars?
What do you mean they're going to do it? They're going to grab your identity and start taking money out of your bank account?
Even if they do nothing.
So, I mean, it's up to Sony to inscript their material, to put firewalls up, to protect it better than they
have. But they had all
this
that.
This is a Sony problem.
They didn't have enough.
They didn't have enough.
So,
well, why would it be, I mean, what's the group call itself, Ray?
The Guardians.
Guardians of Peace. Yes. Why would you go after a movie company? If you want to, I mean, why wouldn't they go after
Because they want to put their own, Michael, because they want to put their own name in lights. That's why.
Yeah, it's highly amusing. Yeah.
On the other hand,
we're all sitting there reading this stuff.
We know North Korea has an active hacking component to their governmental organizations and their military. If it, in fact, is North Korea doing this,
yes,
then what does that say?
What do you mean, what does it say?
What does that say about the future?
Well, it would surprise me if the North Korean government could have that sophisticated a...
No, well, it wouldn't surprise me.
No.
They can find smart people who do this kind of stuff. I believe the Chinese have them. I believe the Russians have them. And I think that they do it, and they can be very annoying. And that's what they're trying to do.
There's no secret here of what's happening and what's coming is that our systems are porous. There's no real safety, and pirates can go any place on the system.
All right.
And companies have to plan, and government have to plan.
And could do anything. They can take my name and put it out there and say, you know, it's from me and it's not.
We are out of time. And again, we probably started this topic too late.
Yeah.
Because I think this whole business of a huge industry giant going on the counterattack is a massive story. Maybe we'll touch on that next week. The email address, roundtable@wamc.org. Hour number two of the roundtable, straight ahead.